Good morning. Aren't we all happy to be here? Yay! I have nothing to disclose. So, compared to other substances, in particular, alcohol use is highly prevalent and a persistent problem among people in the military in general. And military service in and of itself seems to contribute to increases in alcohol use. And both deployment and having been in combat tend to be related to increases in both the frequency of alcohol use and alcohol use-related problems, and binge drinking and that sort of thing. And one of the things that has been identified among military personnel is this sort of use of alcohol as a way of self-medicating for other mental health issues, some of which are also more prevalent among those who are in the military, things like post-traumatic stress disorder, major depressive disorder, and generalized anxiety disorder. Specifically among LGBT service members, the data are limited. We just don't have a lot of studies that have surveyed this population. Certainly prior to the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, accessing these service members for research was incredibly difficult. And even post Don't Ask, Don't Tell, it's not necessarily an easy population to access and survey. So we just don't know a lot. But we suspect, and there's some data from the limited studies that are available, that there are some factors both within and outside of the military that might increase the vulnerability to alcohol abuse and dependence as well as mental health issues among this population. Certainly the added issues of stigma and discrimination, which we can certainly hypothesize that the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell did not eliminate, but has potentially reduced, but that can be playing a role. And then sexual orientation-based harassment, which we still know goes on in the military, even post Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So for this particular aspect of the survey, which you'll be seeing several presentations on this morning, we were looking at the extent of alcohol use and mental health issues among LGBT military personnel, and we wanted to understand the relationship between mental health and alcohol dependency among these folks. So this is some of our data from Serving Proud, which was a study of LGBT service members. This is the research team. It was funded by the Palm Center in part, and then we used some additional resources at our center to carry out this project. So we surveyed everybody online. So all of our sample came from listservs and Facebook groups. We had a lot of assistance from OutServe, both prior and post-merger with the Service League Defense Network. They were compensated with a $10 Amazon gift card for participating. And for eligibility, they had to be at least 18. They had to be LGBT identified or report same-sex experience. And they had to be active in the military within the past 5 years or a reservist. And we threw every measure we could possibly think of at them and still tried to keep it at about an hour-ish, the length of the survey. Sure. Yeah, about an hour. So we surveyed a number of different domains and areas that we thought we needed to look at. Again, because such limited data available, obviously because we're at the Center for HIV Educational Studies and Training, we're focused on HIV risk, but there are so many other mental health and substance use issues that we wanted to be able to look at in this population that we really did a fairly comprehensive survey, or at least as comprehensive as we were able to do. So this gives you sort of an indication of the survey completion rates. So there were 729 clicks on the survey webpage, and then the people who had clicked were informed about the study and given an online consent form, and 64% of them consented. And then once they sort of consented and started the process, a few declined, but 321 or 69% of those who consented were eligible to proceed with the survey. And 294 partially completed it, and 254, or 79% of those eligible, completed the online survey. This is the demographic characteristics. The average age was a little over 30. It was about 31% female, 63% male, and about 6% transgender. The transgender category was evenly split between 7 MTF and 8 FTM. It was about 68% white. It was about 87% gay-identified, about 42% were single and the rest were partnered, and about 94.5% reported that their status was HIV negative or unknown. So right away you see that we have kind of a non-representative sample, right? We are basically looking at white, gay men in the military. So just wanted to put a picture in there to wake us up in the morning. So in terms of their military involvement, most of the sample was presently active, and those who were active more than 5 years ago were reservists, which is why they were still eligible for the study. And most of the sample were enlisted personnel, but about a third were officers. The sample was pretty evenly split across branches of the military with similar proportions in the Army, Air Force, and Navy. We did get fewer Marines and Coast Guard individuals. Most of the sample, you see, 61%, had not seen combat. So this is the information on their alcohol use and mental health, and this is based on scores of the audit. So for the sample, we had about 29% reporting drinking at a hazardous level based on the audit, and that's classified as 14 drinks per week for men and more than 7 drinks per week for women. And then about 8% met criteria for alcohol dependence. Then our measures of anxiety and depression were from the BSI, and 36% met criteria for problems with anxiety and 43% for problems with depression. There's a military version of a PTSD checklist, and 6% of our sample met criteria for PTSD. This seems lower than you might expect, but we have to also consider that the majority of our sample had not seen combat, and PTSD is significantly more likely in those individuals who have seen combat. We found a bunch of demographic differences that we thought it's important to sort of highlight. Transgender individuals scored higher than both males and females on anxiety, depression, and PTSD. The individuals who were not gay identified scored significantly higher than those who were gay and lesbian identified on anxiety, depression, and PTSD, the same factors. Racial and ethnic minorities scored significantly higher on anxiety and depression. Positive individuals scored significantly lower on the audit, which is interesting and atypical because usually studies of HIV-positive individuals find higher rate of alcohol use disorders. Single individuals scored significantly higher on the audit and on depression. And those who were active duty in the past 12 months scored significantly lower on PTSD, depression, anxiety, and stress-related growth, which is interesting. So using the dichotomous cutoff for alcohol dependence on the audit as our outcome, we looked at two different binary logistic regressions. The first used continuous scores from the BSI anxiety and depression scales, the PTSD checklist, and the stress-related growth scale. And then the second one used the dichotomous cutoffs from the BSI anxiety and depression scales and the checklist to really sort of look at these kind of mental health issues along a continuous way versus sort of who would meet criteria for problems versus who would not. And all of our models were adjusted for things like age, sexual orientation, gender identity, race, ethnicity, HIV status, and whether they were active duty in the past year. So here's our first model. And what we see are significant relationships between the continuous measure on the audit and PTSD scores and stress-related growth. So that every 1 point increase in PTSD is associated with an 8% increase in the odds of meeting criteria for alcohol dependence. Stress-related growth served a protective function in that every 1 point increase in stress-related growth was associated with a 9% decrease in the odds of meeting criteria for alcohol dependence. The stress-related growth scale that we use, I didn't mention, is specifically a scale that we adapted focused on how did coming to terms with your sexual identity and sexual orientation sort of affect you. And so it's basically like the idea that coming out or coming to terms with my sexual identity actually made me a stronger, better person in some way. So it makes sense that that would be a protective factor for alcohol dependence. Then when we looked at it dichotomously in terms of do they meet these criteria for mental health problems or not, the cutoff score for depression and, again, stress-related growth were the significant factors. Meeting the criteria for depression was associated with 13 times the odds of meeting criteria for alcohol dependence, and each 1 unit increase in stress-related growth was associated with a 9% decrease in the odds of that. And there was no interaction between depression and stress-related growth. So increases in PTSD associated with increased odds of meeting criteria for dependence, meaning the cutoff criteria for depressive symptomology was associated with more than 13 times the odds. Anxiety does play a role, but depression accounts for basically the most of it. Depression and anxiety were so correlated, but in these models, depression sort of wins and kind of overpowers anxiety in a statistical way. It's interesting, this idea of stress-related growth, because I think that this is something that we could really utilize and actually intervene upon and really sort of working with LGBT service members to kind of reconceptualize their identity and view the strengths that come with coming out and accepting and coming to terms with one's sexual identity could be protective. So there are obviously some limitations. This was a convenience sample. We need to be sure to not generalize to all service members, since again, this was predominantly white, predominantly gay, predominantly HIV negative. We have some concerns about confidentiality and social desirability that may have affected it, although it was, you know, a fairly anonymous survey, but people still could have been concerned about, you know, are you somehow tracking my IP address and that sort of thing. And then we're relying on retrospective reports, so there's always some challenges there. There's some implications in terms of kind of targeted strategies and really looking at ways that we can implement approaches to address particularly the heavy alcohol use that we see in the sample. Alcohol use policies can be combined with campaigns focused on de-glamorizing alcohol use in a way that could be effective, and policies to reduce alcohol-related stigma to encourage people to reach out for treatment. It'd be nice if we could identify some strategies that actually meet the needs of LGBT personnel, and I want to highlight the T, because, you know, Don't Ask, Don't Tell did nothing for the T. The Palm Center has just announced a new initiative for research focused on transgender service members, so hopefully that's going to be really useful. and again, it's not just about the stress from combat that we typically focus on, but really taking those who are active duty but not deployed or seeing combat and helping them with sexual orientation-based stigma and harassment, which we'll be hearing about in a few minutes. There was a bunch of people that were really helpful and involved in this study, and so they're all up there. And we also want to thank our participants. And that's it. Thank you.